I find it interesting that about 1/4 of our worship services involve our singing of praise unto God. Did you know that there are some congregations of the Lord's people that spend almost half the entire worship service in praise to God? Now here's something that's interesting. Some churches sing better than others, don't they? I don't know why y'all are laughing, but some churches sing better than others, but every church is involved in singing. For some reason, I was thinking about our song service, and a question came to my mind, and it was this: why do we sing? And so for the next few moments, I want to focus on an answer or answers to that particular question. There are six of them that we're going to talk about. Number one, we sing in order to praise God, don't we? Psalm 147 verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto God, for it is pleasant, praise is comely. A good preacher could take that verse and preach about another 30 or 40 minutes in it, because there are three reasons that he gives about praise to God, or three things that he says. Notice what he says. He says, praise is good, praise is pleasant, and praise is comely. But we won't spend a lot more time on that. Notice that we are exhorted to sing psalms, according to Colossians 3:16, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When you look up the definition of the word psalms, notice what it says: to praise, to give praise. Notice that last definition: to celebrate. To celebrate. Have you ever really stopped and thought about our praise being a celebration unto God? I think most of us know what it means to celebrate, don't we? All of us from time to time have been involved in different kinds of celebrations. Maybe it's an elderly individual, 90, 95, 100 years old, and we want to have a celebration of their birthday. And numerous individuals come. Gifts are given. And it is a joyful time, is it not, as we celebrate the life of that person. Maybe it involves a wedding anniversary, a 50th wedding anniversary. That's a milestone nowadays, isn't it? Somebody get to 50 years of marriage. Some don't even make it one in our society anymore. 50 years of marriage, we throw a big party, have a big cake, and everybody comes and celebrates the marriage of this couple who's been together so long. Maybe it's just a 16th birthday. Here's a young person. He finally made it to driving age, and we celebrate the fact that he's now growing up, don't we? We know what it means to celebrate. Well, folks, guess what? One of the definitions of praise to God is celebrate. What we mean by that is this: you and I are reaching into the heavens with our songs, and we are trying to do our best to celebrate the Almighty God. Sometimes, however, our song service doesn't sound much like a celebration, does it? We just kind of drudge through it. Oh, let's get these three songs over with, get the sermon over with, get out of here. Folks, we're supposed to celebrate in praise to God. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. You and I need to reach up unto God and celebrate the God that we serve in praise to Him. Number two, why do we sing? We sing in order to teach one another. Let's go back and look at Colossians 3:16, but look at the entirety of the verse. Here's what Paul writes: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now listen to him. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. When you and I come together and you and I sing, we are singing, but we are doing more than singing. We are to teach one another. And that teaching is a mutual process. I teach you and you teach me. If your mouth is open in song, then you are teaching other individuals in this auditorium. Now, a lot of times we don't think about the teaching aspect of our song service. I want us to look at two examples. We sing a song entitled, Kneel at the Cross. And yes, when we sing the song, we are singing it as a celebration unto God. But I want you to listen to the opening words of that song. Listen to it. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. When you sing that song, who are you talking to? Oh yes, I realize we're talking to God. But listen to the words again. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Folks, we are talking to one another. And you and I need to be listening and paying attention to what the song is trying to teach us. There is one God and one mediator between God and me and the man, Christ Jesus. We are teaching one another. Go to God in prayer and remember that while there, Jesus intercedes on our behalf. Another song. Live for Jesus. Listen to the opening words again. Live for Jesus, oh my brother, His disciple ever be. Render not to any other what alone the Lord's should be. Who are we talking to? Oh yes, we're talking to God. We're praising His name. We're celebrating Him in song. But listen to the words again. Live for Jesus, oh my brother. Folks, I'm talking to every brother and sister in Christ in this auditorium. We are teaching one another if we're truly doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we're supposed to be listening to one another. That's why we sing in unison one with another. So it's not chaos. It's not confusion. It is one voice. And we're listening to what that one voice has to say to me. And I am teaching you and you are teaching me. What did Paul say in Philippians 1:21? For to me to live is Christ. Live for Jesus, oh my brother. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You and I render unto Jesus what should be rendered unto Him, do we not? We crucify the world. We separate ourselves from all that is evil and we give Jesus what He deserves in our life. Live for Jesus. Oh, my brother. You see, we are teaching one another. Now, there is a very important note that we need to make right here is this. If we are teaching one another in psalms, then folks, we must teach truth. Isn't that the truth? The Bible tells us that when we sing with one another, we're speaking to one another. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19. Does the Bible tell us what we are to speak? Yes. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You and I are speaking when we sing, and the Bible says if you're going to speak, you speak as the oracles of God. Folks, if there is no Bible authority for the verse of a song, for a song period, then you and I cannot sing that song. I don't care how much we like it, how pretty it is, how good it makes us feel, how long we've sung it, whether others sing it or not. God's going to hold me accountable for what I sing in the worship service, for what I speak to you in the worship service. And if we speak, we must speak as the oracles of God. It behooves song leaders to pay attention to songs. And it behooves each one of us as members of the body of Christ to pay attention to the words of a song. Folks, we do not want to sing error. Just because you're singing error doesn't mean it's acceptable unto God. It does not do that. Point number three, we sing to remember, don't we? God has given every one of us a wonderful gift, the ability to remember, the blessing of memory itself. The word remember is used 148 times in the Bible. The word remembered is used 57 times, and the word remembrance is used 53 times. God realizes that He has given us this ability to remember things, but sometimes you and I get so caught up in the affairs of this world that we have a tendency to forget spiritual things, don't we? All the difficulties, all the struggles, all the problems, all the things we see on TV, all those little things that are going wrong in our lives, all those little things that just drive us crazy and we forget spiritual things. But songs allow us to stop and remember people, places, and things. Listen to what the psalmist said in 145 verse 7. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and what? And shall sing of thy righteousness. You see, when we sing, we can remember God, can't we? There's a beautiful little song, and it's easy to sing. God is so good. God is so good. If you and I could just remember one or two of the little verses of that song, He would constantly be on our minds, would He not? We can remember Jesus. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, bloom within my heart. We can remember the Word of God, can't we? Give me the Bible, Holy Message shining. We can remember the cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Our songs bring to mind the day of our salvation, don't they? Oh, happy day when Jesus what? Washed my sins away. For some of you, that was about 200 years ago. But the minute you sing that song, you can remember 200 years ago, can't you? The very day that you went down into the waters of baptism and came up out of those waters knowing that every sin that you had committed had been completely forgiven. Oh, happy day that washed my sins away. How about this? We remember our Lord's resurrection, don't we? Up from the grave He arose. We can remember the day of judgment. There's a great day what? Coming. There's a great day coming. And we can remember heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. You see, God gave us the gift of memory, and sometimes all it takes is the verse of a song to trigger that memory and to keep us in mind of spiritual things, doesn't it? Number four, we sing songs oftentimes in order to prepare our hearts, don't we? Does the Bible teach the need for preparation? If you go back and you study the Bible, it teaches preparation over and over and over and over again. Find it interesting what the psalmist said. The psalm says that our hearts and our minds and our words need to be right when we come unto God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19, verse 14. You see, David was concerned about God's reception of his words and of the meditations of his heart. I want them, when I come to you, to be acceptable in your sight. You see, in order for that to happen, I'm going to have to prepare my mind, aren't I? You turn over to 2 Chronicles, or 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 19. The Bible says this, "But set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord." And songs help us to do that, don't they? We all know that sometimes we get to the conclusion of a service and we sing, we're going to sing the invitation song now in order to do what? In order to encourage someone to come forward. And we may sing a song like, or for the Lord's Supper, like, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." We talk about this right before the sermon. We may sing something like this, "Break Thou the Bread of Life." We'll sing a song about worship. "Lord, we come before Thee now." We'll sing a song about prayer. "Sweet Hour of Prayer." The invitation song we were talking about. "Why Keep Jesus Waiting." Or maybe we'll sing a song about service. A song like, "I want to be a worker for the Lord." Or a song about evangelism. "Lead me to some soul today." Why do we sing songs like that, folks? It's to prepare our hearts. It's to prepare our lives to do what needs to be done, isn't it? You see, I don't want to just come to this building and then leave and go back into the world the same way I came in. I want to come into the building and then leave encouraged to do what needs to be done, whatever it is in my spiritual life. And songs help me to prepare my mind to do what needs to be done. Number five, why do we sing songs? In order to show our love for the Almighty God. Has God commanded us to sing? Absolutely. You turn over to Psalm 30 and verse 4, and the Bible says this, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His." Have you been set apart unto God? Are you one of the called out ones? Notice what David says. He says, "Sing unto the Lord." Folks, this is not some optional matter. It is a command of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace," or singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Folks, it is a command of God that we sing. Now note this. When we sing, we obey God, don't we? It concerns me a little bit sometimes when I look out on a crowd and there are individuals during the song service just sitting there. Don't care if they sing or not. Just sit there. Folks, listen to me. If you are a child of God and you are in this auditorium, you've come together for worship, you are commanded to sing unto God. But here's the point. When you and I sing, we obey God, and in obeying God, we show our love for Him, don't we? Listen to what John writes. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Wow. Here's what I want you to understand. When God looks down from heaven and He sees you, regardless of how good you can sing or how bad you can sing, I don't care. And God doesn't either. All God wants to do is see you singing. And you know what He says? He says, "Look at that. There my servant is. He's obeying me. He's doing what I have commanded him to do. And I know that he loves me." Every act of obedience fills the heart of God because he sees a child of God who loves him. Number six, we sing to express our joy unto God. Question. Shouldn't we all be joyful because of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus? Folks, our hearts ought to be filled with joy. Because you and I have our sins forgiven. Because you and I have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Because you and I don't have to worry about death. You and I know that there is something beyond. That you and I will one day go and live with Jesus forever and ever and ever. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care how many struggles through which an individual goes. It doesn't matter what country an individual lives in. If you have salvation in Christ, your heart ought to be filled with joy. Now here's the point. That joy cannot contain itself. Not if you understand it. Not if you appreciate it. Not if you're truly glad that you have it. That joy has to be poured out in psalms unto God. The psalmist says in Psalm 95 in verse 2, make a joyful noise unto the Lord with psalms. James 5, verse 13. Is any among you merry? Let him sing psalms. Let him give praise unto God. You sit there on that pew. You're all wilted and dried up. You don't understand the sacrifice of Jesus. You don't appreciate the grace of the Almighty God. Because if you did, your heart would be filled with joy and you would have to sing. Have to sing. Most of us wouldn't consider ourselves great singers, would we? There's not very many of those in the church. There's a few. Folks, it doesn't matter. Even though God knows that we can't sing well, He still has done what? He still has authorized us to sing. And the reason is because singing serves so many purposes in our lives. Singing is our way to praise the Almighty God. Singing is a way that you and I can teach one another. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Oh, I just can't teach. Oh, yes, you can. All you've got to do is sing. Bill made mention of Frank in his prayer, didn't he? Said something like how we miss the old man because of the joy that he brought us. Folks, you just step up to Frank and guess what he's going to do? He's going to sing Jesus Loves Me, isn't he? He's probably sang it to every one of us in here. Not once. Not if you talk to him. But guess what he's doing? He's teaching through that song, is he not? And that's what we do in our singing. Our song service enables us to remember important events like the death of Jesus, important people like God and the Christ, important places like heaven that we will receive in the hereafter. Our song service helps us to prepare our minds for so many things, especially in our worship. Our singing proves that we love God, and our singing enables us to express our deep, abundant joy for what God has done in our lives. Now listen to me. Singing should not be looked on with disdain. Folks, listen to me. Singing is not a secondary item of worship. That's the way many people look at it, don't they? Less singing, more sermon. Less singing, more Lord's Supper. Less singing, longer prayers. Folks, singing is just an item of worship, like all five of the items of worship. Notice this. Our singing should not involve our having a take it or leave it attitude toward it, especially on our fifth Wednesday night singing. We're having one this Wednesday. And you know what happens to people? It rolls around. They got a couple of other little things they need to do. Well, they're just singing down there tonight. So they don't come. Really? You are going to miss an opportunity to praise the Almighty God of heaven just because it's singing? But that's the attitude people have. We have Fifth Wednesday singing. Guess what? A lot of people don't show up. About 20%, even of those who will be here for Bible. It's just singing. You see, we disdain singing for some reason. Folks, it's worship. It's worship. And when you and I do it, we need to do it with spirit, and we need to do it in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our song service, good or bad, as far as pleasant to the ear, is of vital importance to the Almighty God. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I have trusted in Him, and what? He helped me. Wow. You see, I am helped, he says. Now notice what he's going to do in response. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise Him. You see, when I truly trust in my God, when I truly understand what my God does for me, I cannot but help pour out my heart before Him in song and praise of His good name. Has the Lord done things in your life? Surely He has. Have you neglected those things? Have you turned your back on some of those things? Have those things caused you to not be joyful, folks? Sometimes we just need to stop, take inventory of ourselves, and make some internal corrections, don't we? And we may need to do that with regard to our song service unto God. Maybe you're here today and you've not experienced the joy that's found in Christ. We want you to do that. Our Lord's redeemed us through His precious blood, hasn't He? And you and I can be beneficiaries of that blood. It's such an easy way. We believe in Him as the Christ, the Son of God, willing to repent of sins, confess the beautiful name of Jesus, and we can be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. The Bible says in Acts 8, verse 39, speaking about the eunuch, and he went on his way rejoicing. I wonder if he had a song on his lips as he traveled home. Do you need to leave with joy in your heart today? We want you to come forward and be immersed into Christ, don't we? If you're a Christian, have you heard from the faith? Do you need to repent of sins? Ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.